tonight. Let me invite you to take your Bible, if you would, and let's turn to Psalm 55 as we continue through our study on the theme of prayer. Psalm 55 tonight, our focus is really going to be primarily in just one verse found in this psalm, although we will take a survey of this psalm. But the focus of our thoughts tonight come really from the truth that is given to us in verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22, we read these words, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Before we look at our text together tonight, would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer, and then we're going to look at the theme of faith in troubling times. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we ask and pray that you would cause us tonight as we pause for this time and as we prepare our heart to hear from your word, that, Lord, we would allow the distractions of the week, that we would allow the difficulties of these days to be set aside as we focus our thoughts upon our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who has invited us to come unto him. When we are weary, when we are heavy laden, you have promised to give us rest. We can take your yoke upon us, for it is light, it is easy. We can cast every care upon you, knowing that you alone care for us in a way that no one else could ever love us. So, Father, we ask and pray that as we come to this psalm, to this verse, to this text, that you would teach us the beauty and the blessing that is found for us when we, the people of God, set aside self, seek the face of our Savior, and come requesting of thee through prayer. We ask and pray your blessing upon our time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 55 is a psalm of David. It is a psalm that is most likely written during the period of Absalom's rebellion and the betrayal of David's close companion, Ahithophel. That is all recorded for us in 2 Samuel 15. It is written during a great period of distress. And in fact, as you would take the time to read through Psalm 55, what you'll discover are really three basic thoughts or three basic things which David goes through in this time of distress. Three different, really, emotions that he comes through even in his time of prayer. We're going to consider those a little bit later. But as we come to Psalm 55 again, what David does in this time of distress is he imparts to us good counsel on the theme of prayer. And as you and I begin to look at verse 22, there are three realities of prayer that David is going to make mention of. Three things that we want to find just in this simple verse. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Those three things are the burden which exercise our faith, the duty which engages our faith, and the promise that encourages our faith. These are the realities that we find. We are to cast our burden upon the Lord. He has promised to sustain us. He has promised that the righteous will never be moved. And what a wonderful blessing is here for us as we consider this opportunity to cast our cares upon the Lord through the means of prayer. So we look tonight at the realities of prayer as David again mention these to us. Again, if you were to take the moment and just glance through these psalms, we're going to look at it in a survey form later on in our message. But if you, as you read through this psalm, it is evident that David is a man burdened with care. These cares of life are trying this man of God, and these cares are bringing out both the best of him and the worst of him. He is going through a time of great distress as he faces these realities. I want to look at those with you again briefly tonight. The realities of David. First of all, from verse 22, we recognize there is the reality of the burdens which exercise our faith. Verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you." But there is the reality of burdens. David recognizes that there are times in life when we are overrun by burdens, these burdens which challenge us, which challenge our faith. Will we believe God? Will we take him at his word? David says there is the reality of burdens, and those burdens must be cast upon the Lord. David is overrun with these cares. He is overrun with these concerns. His kingdom is falling apart. His son is rebelling against him. His dear, close, personal friend is behind Absalom and causing this rebellion and betraying the confidence. This one whom he used to worship with, this one he counts as a close, dear friend. David is overrun by burdens. Folks, you and I at times have to face the reality of burdens in life. At times we're overrun by them. Sometimes those burdens are there as the result of our own foolishness or because of our sin. That's the case that David's in. David is in this position. His son is rebelling against him as a consequence of David's sin with Bathsheba. God told David at that point in time that one of the consequences of his failure would be trouble within his own household. But folks, sometimes those burdens which exercise our faith have nothing to do with what you and I have done. In fact, they're given to us by God both for his good and his glories. And these trials, these burdens are no respecter of persons. The storms of life fall upon the wicked, and they also fall upon the righteous. You and I must simply learn to accept the reality of trouble, the reality of burdens. Sometimes those burdens, again, might be financial. Sometimes those burdens might be in health. Sometimes they're found in family. Sometimes it's in relation to our work or job. Sometimes we face them corporately as a church. There are troubles which come. There are realities of burdens. Job said, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And David recognizes the burdens of life. But note with me, please, what David says. In this burden that he recognizes, he also realizes that there is a duty which engages our faith. In the time of our trouble, what should we do? In the time of our distress, how should we respond? Here's what David says. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. That is the duty, folks, of your faith and mine. We are to take the burdens of life and cast them upon the Lord. The idea here, as elsewhere in Scripture, is simply this: to remove the burdens from our lives and through prayer, give those over to the Lord. And by the way, once that is done, we are to leave them with the Lord. Think with me real quick of familiar text. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What does the word trust mean? Frank? Okay, it's to lean our entire being. Really, the idea there literally means to roll the absolute weight of. Think about your burdens for a moment. The entire burden of that weight is to be given to the Lord because we trust him with how much of our heart? All of it. We won't even seek to lean to our understanding, but instead we'll acknowledge God every step of the way. And he promises then to direct us. Idea of that word trust is to roll completely. That same concept is used in Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. David says it this way again. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Peter, I believe, has this exact sentiment in mind, and actually more than likely quotes this concept when he says in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In our human nature, we are prone to try to bear our burdens alone. We seek to shoulder the burdens, to work all things out after the counsel of our wills. But David says, no, in these burdens of life, even the ones that I am facing because of my own foolishness and sin, I am to cast my burdens upon the Lord. I am to give it to the Lord, to take his yoke upon us, for it is light and it is easy. But you notice in this verse, not only do we find the burdens that exercise our faith and the duty that engages our faith, would you notice with me at the end, it tells us a promise which encourages our faith. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Understand how sweet and wonderful the promise is. And by the way, there's two thoughts in this promise, or two promises even to consider. The first is this. David says, we are to cast our burden upon the Lord, knowing this, that he will sustain us. I want you to note that word, please. He will sustain us. David did not say he will necessarily deliver us immediately from the burden, but he'll sustain us through the burden. I found a quote this week. I wish I knew who it belonged to, but what I found and the person it was attributed to was this wonderful person named Anonymous. So I don't know who this belongs to, but he wisely said, sometimes the Lord calms the storm, and sometimes the Lord allows the storm to rage on, and he calms the child. But the promise is, he will sustain you. That word sustain speaks of supplying us with the necessities or supporting us through the difficulties. David says, cast your burdens upon the Lord, for he will sustain you. He gives us the ability to endure. He keeps us from falling. That's the second part. We understand that God will protect us. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. The idea of that phrase is this: God would never make it possible, either through a specific action or the lack of action for us, to be shaken to the place where we become unstable, where we fall. He will keep us from being moved. Remember the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus for Peter? He said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, to shake you to the very foundations and destroy your life, making you ineffective. But I have prayed for you. And his prayer was that Peter's faith would fail not. Can I ask you a question? Did Peter fail? And he failed miserably. Did his faith ultimately fail? No. Although he failed for a moment. John 21, he gets restored, does he not? Acts 2, he stands at Pentecost and preaches, and thousands are saved. And Peter still takes the keys of the kingdom, and he opens the gospel to the Jew, to the Samaritan, and to the Gentile. He ultimately did not fail. And in the end, Peter suffered his martyrdom, and he did it with joy. And Jesus said, the righteous won't be moved. David here reminds us that we are to cast our burdens. There are burdens that will exercise our faith. We have a duty in the midst of them, and that is the duty of prayer. And there's the promise that comes that encourages us that God will sustain, he will protect. Those are the realities of prayer tonight. But I want you to note with me, if you would, this evening, one final thought. And that is simply this, the reasonableness of that. Forgive me, I missed a slide. God will sustain, God will protect. You got those? Good. Here we go. The reasonableness of our prayer. In order to see this, I want you to come back with me to the beginning of the psalm. Because what we find in Psalm 55 are really three responses that you and I can make when faced with troubling times. There's three ways that you and I can handle the burdens of life. There's three ways that we can approach these difficult days and these difficult times. And really what we find is David showing us the example of all three and yet leaving us with the highest means at the very end. And we'll see that in a moment. Here's what I want you to know. Verses 1 through 8, when we consider the reasonableness of prayer, we see, first of all, the response that you and I can have in the days of difficulty is the response of fear. Look what David says. Notice, by the way, he's even in prayer through this, but yet these attitudes exist. Fear is still here. He says, give ear unto my prayer, O God. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn and I complain and I make noise because of the voice of my enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me. And the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. By the way, what he's saying there is simply this. Oh, that I could, like a dove, just fly away from the problems of my life. He is overwhelmed, and he's in fear. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Folks, you and I, when faced with difficult times, will be brought to fear. What will we do? David says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. There is the reality of times of being overcome with fear. That fear, by the way, comes because, as David said, he was looking within. He is focused on his emotions. He's focused on his feelings. When we are hurt and thrust into troubling times, it's easy to allow our focus to be centered on self, to look within. Where do we look in times of trouble? Where do we look when we're in distress? When we look within as a response, it often leads to fear. But notice this response did not help David. It does not alleviate the troubles that were around him. All they did is stir up a desire within him, as we said in verse 6 through 8, to flee. Folks, fear gives wings to flight. It causes us to run from the troubles instead of learning from them and being strengthened in them. As you continue on, we come to verse 9. And in verses 9 through verse 15, we see a second response. David is not so much now in fear as now he's been stirred up to fury. Look at what he says in verse 9. Listen to the words as he prays. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues. He's speaking of his enemies. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go out about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me, when I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. We walked in the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. You see the fury of his life? Look at what he says. Destroy them. Divide them. Let death seize upon them. Let them quickly enter into hell. Now, folks, the reality is he is facing perhaps one of the greatest betrayals of his life as king. And yet he struggles with fear. And next he has moved to anger. Now he is willing to call down indignation for that which they have done to him. Although that rebellion needed to be stopped and their sins needed to be judged, that was not the ultimate need, though, of David's life, to just be filled with rage. His troubles would still continue, folks, even after the rebellion was squashed. For at the close of one trouble, there opened the door yet to another. There would be troubles in David's life. And by the way, it's not so much that we need to have judgment upon those who bring us trouble, because that will solve all of my problems. When one trouble ends, another one's around the corner, folks. Man is born unto trouble. That's reality. We live in a sin-cursed world. Those don't go away. We need to get away from the mind that says, if I serve God, my life will be fine. There'll be no troubles. I think the opposite is true. Those that desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. There's going to be struggles and troubles that come upon us. That's reality. How do I respond to it? I cast my burden upon the Lord, knowing that he'll sustain me. David's gone through fear. David's been filled with fury and rage and wrath. But there's a third response. Look with me beginning in verse 16. And folks, that response is simply this: faith. Look at what it says. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, all day, every day, will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace, for the battle was not against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hand against as be at peace with him, and hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. He comes back. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But my conclusion, I will trust in thee. The third response, the best response, folks, when you and I are overcome with troubles, is the response of faith. It's the reasonable response. By faith, I bring my petitions to the Lord. By faith, I leave them at his feet. By faith, I do not take them up again. By faith, I wait wholly upon the Lord. By faith, I rest in his arms. I let him carry me through. The reality for us is that although we know that this is the only reasonable response, folks, still we struggle with fear. We struggle with fury. We find ourselves angry. We find ourselves scared. Let me encourage you to meditate on the truth of verse 22 and see just how much this truth needs to be applied to our lives in troubling times. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Are you casting your care on him? Can you cast the care of your life on the Lord? Can you cast the burdens of your family, your finances, and your future on the Lord? Do you believe that he will sustain you? Do you believe that he will protect you and provide for you? Do you still believe he loves you, and do you still in turn love him? What a great blessing, folks, is afforded to us, the children of God, when we are bid to come and pray, to cast our burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. The blessing of prayer is ours. It's afforded to us. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In the midst of our greatest distress, in the middle of the night, as our heart lays there upon our bed and we water our beds with tears and our heart desires to want to break and seems like it will but dissolve, cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will not suffer you to be moved. Folks, we need to learn the blessing to pray. And by the way, not just when we're in troubling times, but oh, the joy is that in those times of trouble, there is one who supports me, who upholds me with his everlasting arms, who through his eyes will guide me and beholds me as the apple of his eye, who loves me with an everlasting love, and nothing can separate me from that love. No distress, no difficulty, no persecution, not even death can take that love from me. I can cast all of my cares, large or small, upon the Lord, because I know he cares for me. And I in turn love him because he first loved me. And has that not been demonstrated to us over and over again? Day by day, he pours out his blessings. Day by day, we receive of his benefits. Day by day, we are bid to come boldly to the throne of grace. Day by day, we are reminded as the children of Israel to open wide your mouth that I may fill it. We are reminded that there is one who in the presence of mine enemies prepares a banqueting table and causes my cup to overflow, and goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am never afraid, because the Lord is my shepherd, and therefore I will not want. Prayer. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord. There's a reality of burdens. They'll try our faith. There's a process to conquer those burdens. It's called prayer. And there is a beautiful promise attached. He sustains. He protects. He provides. He meets every single need of the heart. That's our blessing of prayer. Father, thank you for tonight, for the blessing, the privilege that we have to come and look at such a text, to consider a verse that reminds us of our wonderful God, our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wonderful promise given to us to come, to cast our burdens upon Him, knowing that you have promised to sustain and never suffer us to be moved. We thank you, Lord, for our time tonight. We ask your blessing now as we go, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. You're dismissed tonight.